Welcome to program number 2 in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Deuteronomy. Father, we ask that our hearts are good ground, that we would hear your word and understand your word, and that your word would bear fruit in our lives 100-fold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And today we pick up our study in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 22. Now, Moses is talking to the Israelites in this book, and they are about to enter the promised land, and he is relating a story to them about their own past, their own history, the first time they reached the borders of the promised land, which was about 40 years before this. And let's just pick up our reading in verse 22. It says, "Then all of you came to me and said, 'Let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us, and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to.'" And there was real wisdom in sending some scouts to check out the place. I mean, it was a good idea to check out the landscape and figure out the easiest way to enter. Nothing wrong with that at all. God expects us to do our homework and to act wisely whenever it is possible. Verse 23, "The idea seemed good to me, so I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe." Moses thought it was a good idea. He never dreamed, of course, that this scouting trip would lead to panic and a sinful distrust of God, which, of course, is exactly what happened. Verse 24, "They left and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and explored it." They didn't just give it a quick look, not just a quick glance. They explored it so they could give an accurate report. They did their job, as far as that's concerned. Next verse, verse 25. "Taking with them some of the fruit of the land, they brought it down to us and reported, 'It is a good land that the Lord our God has given us.'" Well, so far so good. The land is as wonderful as God said it would be. That was the report. Now, really, all that they have to do is go in and possess it, and God will give it to them, as he said he would. 26. "But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God." God told them to take the land. God commanded them to take the land. Moses and the two wise scouts, Joshua and Caleb, also told them to go in and take the land, but they would not. They disobeyed. And it wasn't so much Moses that they disobeyed. He was just God's representative ruler. They disobeyed God. And you know, disobeying legitimate authority is always disobeying God, because the Bible says, "No authority has been established here on earth apart from God." Verse 27. "You grumbled in your tents and said, 'The Lord hates us.' So he brought us up out of Egypt to deliver us to the hands of the Amorites to destroy us." You know, I almost cannot find the words to tell you what I think. How outrageous the Israelites were in their accusations against God. The Israelites were probably the most miserable and abused people on earth during all those years that they were slaves down in Egypt, and there was no way they could get out of that mess, not by themselves. And so it was a very loving thing for God to get them out of that situation. And now they accuse God of doing it because he hated them. "He did it to kill us," they say. Verse 28. "Where can we go? Our brothers have made us lose heart. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large, with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there." They say, "We can't get in there. We can't go take that land. The mountains that we are supposed to pass through are filled with big, tough Amorites. Big, tough fighting men. Besides, even if we do get in, we couldn't conquer the cities because there are huge walls around them. We can't go in. That's what the Israelites said. Verse 29. Then I said to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. And it did look bad. It did look intimidating, but Moses tried to encourage them not to be afraid. Panic leads to trouble every single time. And one thing the leader must do is try to keep his people from panic when things aren't going well. Verse 30. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes. Their enemies were big, it's true. But God is bigger. And the cities were fortified, but God is much stronger than those cities. God defeated their enemy, Egypt, and he will defeat their enemies here. And that is what Moses tried to get across to these people. Verse 31. And in the desert, he says, let me go back and read verse 30 again. The Lord, your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. God has nurtured you, Moses is saying. He has taken care of you every step of the way. God beat down their enemies, supplied all their needs, kept them from all harm, all the way through the wilderness. Moses wanted them to trust a God who has proven to be trustworthy. Verse 32, in spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God. And so in spite of all God had done for them, they still didn't trust him. You know, God should be trusted. If all he ever does is give his word, that is enough to trust him, because he is God. He is not a man that he should lie. And the fact that they didn't trust him after he proved his faithfulness made their unbelief all the more terrible. 33. Let's read verse 32 along with it. Some of these verses are kind of choppy if we don't go back a little bit. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in a cloud by day, to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. Remember, they traveled through the wilderness from Egypt to the Promised Land. It was a barren wilderness. There were no tracks. There were no nice road maps to follow. And so God led them, literally, by a cloud. He showed them where to pitch their tents. He directed them to places that were the most convenient for them and the most safe for them. And he had been very faithful. Verse 34. When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore. Stop there for a second. When God heard them threaten Moses and Aaron, and when he heard them charge God with hatred, I'll tell you what, the Lord was angry. And he said the following, verse 35. Not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your forefathers. And you know, it wasn't just the 10 evil scouts who went into the land and checked it out and came back with a bad report and caused panic through the camp of Israel and panic through their lack of faith. It wasn't just those 10 evil spies that wouldn't get into the Holy Land. It was all the adults who listened to them. They will not get into the Promised Land either. Verse 37. Because of you, the Lord became angry with me also and said, you shall not enter either. Now, I tell you, I know God is just, but I feel a little bit of pity here for Moses, because 38 years after the Israelites began to turn back and wander in the wilderness as punishment, Moses sinned with his words. You know, that man put up with 38 years of their grumbling. And finally, frustration got the best of him. And I guess I shouldn't say that I pity him, because he should not have let sin get the best of him. But he did. He let frustration get the best of him. He sinned. And therefore, he won't get into the land either. Verse 38. But your assistant Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it, encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it. Joshua was Moses' assistant, and he will also be Moses' successor, and he will lead the people into the land. Moses says, encourage him. In other words, don't give him a hard time like you did me. He has a tough job, so encourage him if you would. Let's look at the next verse, verse 39. And the little ones that you said would be taken captive, your children who do not yet know good from bad, they will enter the land. I will give it to them, and they will take possession of it. Now, the first time the Israelites got to the edge of the promised land, about 40 years before this, when the scouts came back with the report that, well, we just can't take that land. The people are big and strong. The cities are fortified. The people wailed and they grumbled and they said, our children are going to be slaughtered if we try to take that land. If we obey God and go in and take possession of that land, our children are going to be killed. God says, no, I'm going to give them the land. And it's sad that the children really suffered for 40 years the consequences of their parents' sin. It wasn't the children's fault that their parents didn't believe God, but because their parents didn't believe God, they were not allowed to go into that land for 40 years. But God says, I'm going to give it to them now. They're going to go in. Verse 40, but as for you, turn around and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea. And that was the command that God gave the Israelites 40 years earlier. They wouldn't go in, so God said, okay, you're not going to believe me when I tell you I'm going to give you victory and I'm going to give you that land? Now turn around and start wandering and wander for the next 40 years. Verse 41, then you replied, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight as the Lord our God commanded us. So every one of you put on his weapons, thinking it easy to go up into the hill country. And so the Israelites, after being told by God not to go up and take the land, but to turn around and go and wander in the wilderness as punishment for their unbelief and continuous rebellion, after being told that, they presumptuously tried to take the land anyway. Verse 42, but the Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up and fight, because I will not be with you. You will be defeated by your enemies. Moses tried to warn them. God tried to warn them. You go up there. You are on your own. You try to take that land now after God told you not to go. You are on your own. And we're going to find out next time what happened. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join us next time for our third installment, study through the book of Deuteronomy. Until next time, Mike Moret here. God bless you.